Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Canine Connection podcast. Today, Lori and I are going to be talking about matches, also known as show and goes, also known as run throughs, which in essence are practice events set up to kind of mimic real competition. Some people in certain parts of the country are fortunate in the sense that they have a fair number of them that are offered. Some people in certain parts of the country have access to none of them, in which case, and we can talk about this a little bit, it does help if you can actually do them with just one or two people. But you could also push yourself a little, try and get a little group together, set up some very basic ground rules and help each other out. No, it's not going to be quite as busy as a bigger kind of show and go, etc. But you really don't need it, to be completely honest, because I can get my dogs to pretty much act exactly like they do in the ring. If I just have, a lot of times they'll do it with just my training partner in his training building where we train every week. Right. For sure, I can get it with two people that I train with, kind of do a quote unquote formal looking run through, and I'll get the same behaviors.
Yeah, I think that they are far and few between for a lot of people. And I'll hear a lot of students or people say, you know, oh, my dog's stressed in the ring this weekend. And the first thing everybody says is, well, are you going to matches? Oh, I don't have any in my area. So like you said, and everyone out there listening, like they are great. Don't get me wrong. I try to go to them. But you can just get, if you can get one or two people together, you can reenact that kind of that, I guess, that trial picture with a judge and a steward and all that, and be able to have some effective training in that formal picture for sure.
I think the biggest thing people struggle with this when they do run throughs and even when they go to a formal mat, show and go, et cetera. Because this happens all the time. People tell me, nope, doesn't happen in those situations, only happens in the ring. Well, you're wrong, and I'll tell you why. and it's because people don't act the same way they're going to act in the ring. So the first time I discovered this was a really long time ago with Tyler. So it was a very long time ago. And I was like, he only does this in the ring. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to a match. I'm going to wear my trial clothes. This is hilarious because I didn't know. So I'm going to wear my trial clothes. I'm going to bring, you know, the same treats. I'm going to do everything exactly the same. And then I'm going to go in the ring and I'm going to treat it just like a show. And by the time I got to like the third exercise, I could tell he was going to do the thing that was exactly like what he did in the show. Well, after doing that a few times, I realized, okay, it's not my clothes.
Yeah.
It's me acting exactly the same way as I'm going to act in the ring. So what do people do when they train with their friends? Oh, they chit chat. They're casual. Their body isn't the same. They talk. They help their dog in the ring. They tell their dog they're wrong, or they like help adjust the front. Well, guess what? As soon as you do that, it doesn't look like the ring anymore. It looks like training. As soon as you start telling your friends, see, my dog only does this, blah, blah. Well, guess what? It doesn't look like the ring, right? So people do a host of things when they're training with their buddies that look absolutely nothing like when they go to a trial ring.
Right. True. Yeah. And they don't even know they're doing it.
They don't even know. No.
Yeah. They don't know what they're, they don't know that they're doing that. And that's where, like, so if you, I guess, we'll dive into kind of like, you know, what do we use matches for? Like, and I think I would say personally, it depends on the dog's level, first of all, mm-hmm. obviously. I mean, we take our young puppies and dogs to the matches as soon as we can start doing that, just to start to introduce them to that. But we're not going to go there, obviously, with a dog who isn't fully trained and expect them to go in and do a full run, because they're not fully trained to do that in whatever class that you're entering them in.
No. Well, like, so with a young, let's start with those young dogs. And right. what is it specifically that we actually do in those situations? Because some people too, I should throw this out there, like an agility, you could do just like and sometimes you could do a 4 exhibit only, mm-hmm. Which is in essence a match. Like, right. You don't have to be formal, right? All the rules, normal rules don't apply. Like, you can help your dog, you can play with your dog. But so what would you do with, if you took a young dog that's not fully trained, what are you going to do with the dog at a match?
Right. So if I had a young dog, and depending on where they are at in their training. So let's, for example, let's say this dog is, you know, already learning ring entrances and taking the leash off and having somebody come up and talk to me. So those are the things that I would be working on with that young dog. I would have food on me. I'm still going to present some trial picture with those things that I'm going to be doing with that very young dog, but it's going to be very similar to what we've been doing in training, which is also having some infusion of trial picture in there, but I'm going to help my dog. I'm going to make sure that my young dog is successful, because at the end of the day, these are their very, very first quote unquote trialing experiences. So I am going to do things that my young dog knows, with being able to help them through it in the beginning. I'm going to reinforce a lot of stuff. I'm going to make sure I don't overface my young dog, because that, again, it goes back to, I want them to have some really positive first trialing experiences.
So, yeah. So I reward heavily, like my dog's getting a million treats or toy or play. Like, it's just getting reinforced. Right.
Right.
And, I'm going to use those things that I don't normally have access to, which is what you said, like a person acting as a judge, right? Because a lot of times I'm training at home in my house.
Right.
But I'm not going to set up a situation where my dog's going to fail, because now my dog's going to have a negative association. So I have to set everything up. I have to give clear instructions to the judge, because it's just, hello, people, it's a volunteer. So first of all, don't harass it. Get out of them.
Yeah, don't be mean.
Be nice. Second of all, give them instructions. They're not mind readers. They don't know what you want. You must give them specific instructions. And if they're not doing it perfectly, just modify your training accordingly, right?
Yep.
So set your dog up to succeed. High reinforcement rate, lots of games, lots of fun.
Yep.
And basically, you're taking advantage of distractions and just the dog being exposed to a ring picture, but you are going to make the dog successful. That's super, super important, right? You want the dog thinking that scenario is the most fun thing ever.
Right. Yeah. Like, and that's, you know, any new environment you're taking them into, you know, you want them to associate that with positive experiences, right? So, whether we take them to a parking lot somewhere or into a store or even going to a match, like the young dogs need to have all those positive things with high reinforcement for sure.
Yeah. So then when my dog is like maybe getting ready to show in novice, which would be whatever first level of any sport is, like, I don't want the first time my dog gets exposed to a full kind of ring procedure to be at a trial, right? Like, I want my dog to be exposed to kind of everything, you know, the whole sequence of events. Now, the problem is Many, many, this is where the vast majority of people go awry.
Mm-hmm.
A match or a run through, whether it's formal or with friends, it is not a test. The only time you test your dog is at a trial. And I mean, way back when my very first field instructor, he taught me that. He said, everything is training except right. when you're trialing. That is the only time you're testing your dog. People go to matches to, quote unquote, test their dog to reassure themselves that their dog knows how to do the work. When the dog makes mistakes or struggles, they ignore that. What are you teaching your dog? That the ring is hard. That they fail, that they struggle, that we don't help them, right? And that is not what we want to teach the dog.
Right.
So when I take a young dog in the ring, that's maybe it knows how to do the exercises. Again, I'm going in there still with the goal of helping my dog be right and be successful. So now let's say my dog does a beautiful ring entrance. I'm not just going to keep going. I'm going to mark it, run, and grab my dog, grab a couple treats and be like, that was a super job, buddy. That was beautiful. I'm not going to keep going and going and going until my dog messes up.
Right. Right. And yeah, then, because you want to reinforce those really, because you want to make sure you're marking and telling your dog when they bring that effort, especially when it gets harder, right? Because that's what's going to happen at a trial. It's going to be freaking hard. So when we go to those matches and our young dogs, especially, or the dogs that are just about to go into the ring, they're not experienced at all. Again, mm-hmm. like they have not been exposed to hardly anything. And when they do bring it or cross like some wicked awesome threshold, definitely like that's the time to really make sure that you are, you know, acknowledging that for your dog for sure.
Yeah.
And you go to where people go to do that, you know, their dogs are trialing or their dogs are about to trial. This is drives me freaking crazy. And even when I'm like judging matches, I judge quite a few matches and they'll come in and I always say to them, I'm just going to call, I'm going to play judge and you do your thing, you know, like, so if you need to stop and reward or you need to stop and fix something, then do that. But what happens? 90% of people, something will go wrong substantially mm-hmm. or whatever. It'll fall apart and they keep going. Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm always like,
or they tell their dog it's wrong. No. That's right. wrong. Oh, and then the dog turns around and does it right. And they keep going.
And they keep going.
And I'm like, this is why I can't judge matches anymore. Because the whole time I'd be going, good dog. Like, I just mark for them. Because I'm like, I can't take it. So I would just be marking for them constantly. Like,
right.
And then I'd go, good dog. And they'd go, good dog. Like,
yeah.
And I'm like, hey, whatever works, right? But like, do you want, like, is, like, put yourself, like, if I took you as my student, put you in and said, all right, you're going to do a formal run through, this is your first time, and you do some things really well, and I say absolutely nothing, and then you make a mistake, and I go, no, 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 that's
right.
wrong, and yep. you're like, oh, shoot, and then I go, do it again. Because that's what people do.
Yeah, they do.
And then you try really hard and you do it right. And I just say nothing. I'm just like, keep going.
Right.
You're going to be like, geez, this sucks. I don't want to do this. Like, this isn't fun. Like, what am I even doing here?
Right.
That's what I would say. Right.
Totally.
So instead, I want to be like, good job, buddy. That was super. If my dog struggles, I'm going to help him out. It's all right. I'll help you, buddy. This is how you do it. Okay.
Right.
All right, let's try it again. Oh, you did it right. Good job. Right. And then I know I just need to go back and work on that more in training.
Right.
Or I'll take a piece that I know is weak. And I've gone to matches. I don't even do the sequence. I just go, I'm going to do this. Like,
right.
I want to just work on healing, or I just want to work on go out. I'm just, you stand there, you call it, and I'm going to reinforce my dog, help the dog through, help the dog work through that problem in that ring picture, but I'm going to make it successful. People either are trying to, they're like, I'm going to get catch my dog, like they want their dog to be wrong so they can tell them that's wrong, don't do that.
Right.
Or they just keep going and going because they want to be reassured that their dog can do the whole thing and will qualify. Well, that's really not the best use.
Right. It's counterproductive.
Yeah. It's totally counterproductive.
Yeah. Well, I think too, what happens that I got to mention is, you know, anyone who's at the matches, like, again, it comes back to, I don't want to say ego, but it is a little bit about the mm-hmm. ego, because people are watching you. Oh, so-and-so is in the ring. Oh, they've got their new dog out. Right. So then it goes back to that, you know, oh, my dog needs to do well. People are watching, you know, instead of being in that moment with your dog, helping your dog, like you're there to train your dog. Right. It's not about impressing anybody. And that definitely factors in. Not only at matches, but it also at trials too. And you see the disappointment in people when the dog makes a mistake. So, you know, you just have to be mindful of that. Like, you can't care what anyone fucking thinks about you. Like, it just comes down to that. And it's really hard because there's other people there and they're watching you.
Yeah. But, you know, I say to myself, like, what do I want those people to see? Like, do I want them to see my dog struggling because I'm not helping my dog?
Right.
Or do I want them to see that when my dog makes a mistake, I get mad at them? Is that what I want people to think is the right way to train? No. Like, I want people to see that when my dog struggles, I'm going to help them. I don't care if you agree or not. That's who I want to be. That's what I want to do for my teammate.
Right.
Right. Like, I want to show that, like, no, this isn't about doing the whole thing. It's about doing the pieces. Like, that's perfectly fine. You know, I'm kind of fortunate that one thing I was taught way back, I was taught this again by my field trainer, where they don't have matches for that, but we would get a group together, we would set it up, we would have the duck calls, the whole nine yards, right? We would call number 53 to the line. So our dogs get that feeling. And I was taught, you are training, which means you're teaching, you're helping your dog.
Right.
And the same with obedience matches. I was taught, like, put the aids out to help your dog be right. Like, you know, work on pieces that. So, for instance, moving stand, like, it's hard to find a person that's going to go over your dog in everyday life.
Right.
So most matches, I'll do 2-3 moving stands. I'll ask if there are one person acting as judge, someone else is like table steward. I'll say to that person, can you please come out and do a moving stand? So I have a second person doing a moving stand, and I'll do 2-3-4 of them. Sometimes I'm just working on the pieces where you need a second person. I'll just have someone take my leash multiple times or you know, set my dog up, and the judge says, this is the heel free. Are you ready? I'll go, ready. Yes. And I'll reward my dog. I'll do that 3-4 times in a row, right? Like, it's not about doing the whole thing.
Right. And I think that must be said too, is, you know, you really do need to have some sort of plan outline, you know, going into a match with your dog or multiple dogs, you know. So I always, like, when I know I'm going to a match the day before, the night before, I'll just scribble on a piece of paper so I can put it on top of my crate. It just reminds me of what I do want to try to accomplish with each of my dogs in whatever run that I'm doing with them. So like you said, like, one of my runs might just be working on, you know, ring entrances and taking the leash off, right? And going to go do a setup. And if that's what it takes for all that 10 minutes, and that's what I'm going to focus on in that run. With that being said, however, you do need to have sort of that capacity to, if things go wrong or
when
things go wrong, because you can't predict what's going to happen, you know, and when things go wrong, you need to have a backup plan on how you're going to handle it and what you're going to do. Right. So that's super important, because that's like, if you show up at a match and you're just going to go in and be like, well, I'm just going to go do the whole thing without really thinking through what you want to accomplish, what things you think might be hard for your dog, when you're going to be able to help them, being ready to help them. You got to kind of really have that mapped out and outlined for sure.
Yeah. And I always try to encourage people, if at all possible, to get multiple runs, because that takes some pressure off. Because when you only have one shot, then people feel pressure. Like, I have to get everything done. If you have two or three runs, like if I go to a match, I usually buy like four per dog.
Me too.
And then that gives me, and I don't always use them,
right,
but that gives me more than enough opportunity to do everything that I need to do. So if something crops up, boom, I can stop. I can work on that. I'm not worried. Oh God, I really need to do that other thing, and now I won't get to it because I can do it in another run. Right. Like, I can use one run to do pieces of a run through and reward them. I can do another run to just work on specific exercises or specific pieces of exercises, or to work on pressure.
Right.
I just want to do a whole bunch of pressure pieces and different parts of the ring, and I want to reward my dog for those and give my dog a good experience with that.
Right.
So having multiple runs is super helpful. Because again, it takes pressure off, but just like you just said, it helps to have at least a rough outline of a plan, because otherwise you end up winging it. And unless you're super experienced, winging it rarely goes well.
Rarely goes well.
It just doesn't. Like my students do it all the time. Like, well, now look, I get it. Like, part of learning is making mistakes and leaving and going, yep, well, could have done that better. I sure mucked that up, right?
Yeah, right.
And that's part of learning, and that's super okay, right? It does not mean all our training sessions are supposed to be perfect. They're not. My training sessions are not. Even though I'm relatively experienced and I do write things down, things still happen, and I don't always handle them to the best of my ability. And I'll be driving home like, oh boy, you could have done that better.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and that's just part of learning. That's
reality.
Okay.
That's reality, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. That's part of
it. Yeah. The other thing too is what I wanted to bring up too, which can happen, is just be a little careful receiving advice. Hmm. And instruction from other people at matches. This, I think, pertains mostly to people just starting out and aren't as confident in their training or their ability or know-how, etc. There are some people out there, as we all know in life, that think they know everything. I guess my point is just to be really careful, because you don't want to just assume that they don't know your dog, and they don't know your training, because there's different types of training. And so just be really, really careful, protect yourself and protect your dog. Because that will happen. That will definitely happen, especially if you're struggling with something. All of a sudden, you know, the expert's going to show up and be like, well, this is what you need to do. And the thing to do with that is just say, thank you so much for your advice. I'll take that in consideration. I'm just going to shelf that for now and move on. You know, you're totally, you know, you have every right to do that. And that's you paid for the X amount of minutes in that ring. Just be really mindful. And if you don't know what to do, if something falls apart, just bag it and fucking play with your dog. Yeah,
bail. Just bail. If it's not going the way you want, just bail. Don't dig yourself into a hole.
Yep.
Just bail. I have bailed more times than I can count. There's nothing wrong with that. But back to the people. And some people actually just legitimately want to be helpful, right?
Yeah.
That's another reason I don't like
people.
Just kidding. That's another story, but. I was about to go off on a tangent about that, but I'm going
stay on tap.
So, another reason I don't judge matches is because I'm a fixer, right? I want to help everybody and fix everybody. But the reality is there are times when I'm standing there and I want to say something and I'm like, well, you know what? That's not how that person trains.
Right.
So my advice, as well-meaning as it is not going to help them because it's not in line with their training, the way they train. So it won't make sense to them or the dog.
Right.
Some people at matches offer advice, and I know they mean well, they really want to help and they really think they are helping, right? Which is why I always say, just say thank you. Don't get annoyed. Just say thank you, right? They mean well, but they don't know, like you said, your dog, they don't know your training, and their training may be night and day different from the way we train. Right?
Yeah, right.
And the reason people, like you said, struggle with it is just insecurity. But you're better off take that information. Maybe it is even good and correct. Just take it, write it down, and go look at it later.
Yeah.
And decide, because maybe all of it's good, maybe none of it's good, maybe some of it's good.
Right.
But you don't want to have to decide that in that moment in time in the ring. Right. Or like, I remember I was showing Tyler for cross. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Like, I was doing an exercise and there was a different instructor there and she was like, do that. And I'm like, no, my dog, I have never done it like that before. My dog's going to be totally confused. And thank God I didn't, because it was like a day or two before he was competing. And she was like, and I understood why she was saying it, because that's how she handles an error like that. But that's not how I handled errors. And so therefore, had I done what she said, it would have totally confused my dog. And other people were there and they did what she said and it did totally confuse their dogs, because that wasn't how they trained. They didn't train like me, but they didn't train like her. And all it did was stress them out, stress the dog out. And I'm like, that's not a good thing. Like, right before you're about to do like a really huge event, right?
Yeah. And that can happen. So be careful, because a lot of times we are matching, like that could fall where you're trialing in 2, 3, 4, 5 days. And you do not want to fall into a catastrophe.
Yeah. Or try something brand new that you've never tried, which again, it may be valid. But maybe you don't want to do it at that moment in time, or maybe you want to get your instructor's advice on it, or maybe you want to try it after you have a show, if you have a show in a few days or something like that. So again, it's all information, good, bad, or indifferent. It's just data. And that's how you should treat it.
Yeah. And you should, you know, it's kind of like that thing, like where people are like, you know, pause before you speak. It's the same thing. Pause before you act. Don't just feel it's pressure. You're going to feel a little pressure to do the thing, because that person might know what they're doing more than you. That's how people think. But at the end of the day, you need to really be mindful and just take that pause. Thank them very much and deal with it later, however you want to deal with it. But don't do it right there in the moment, for sure, because it's probably going to go south.
And another thing, and this is really important. So I have seen some, you know, pretty successful trainers do techniques at a show and go with their dog and heard people that are watching say to each other, that's a good idea. I'm going to try that. And I went, oh my God.
Yeah.
Because what that person was doing sometime in that case that I'm envisioning at this moment in time, the dog was completely stressed out.
Yeah.
But the people couldn't read that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a problem. Like, they're like, oh, that's a good idea. I'm like, that dog's barely doing it by the skin of its teeth, and the dog is completely stressed out. And now you're going to take your dog, who's probably, and I'm not saying this to be disparaging, but probably not trained to that level. Mm-hmm. But also, again, this is a dog that's being trained. Not, I don't agree with it. And long term, it did not work. I know that for a fact.
Mm-hmm.
But that dog is constantly being trained to be under enormous amounts of pressure. And you're going to take your dog that you're probably training differently, and you're going to put it in this situation where I will lay everything I own on the fact that your dog is going to fail, and it's going to fail miserably. And now, and then what are you going to do? You're going to say to the dog, no, you're wrong. You're wrong. And you're just going to go down a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
So buyer beware. Like, or if you see me, even if you saw, let's say, me doing something with my dog, even if it's in a positive scenario, like, how do you know, like, has your dog been trained to that level? And what I mean by that is, like, have all those reps, all those pieces that I layer piece by piece, carefully over time, very carefully, very carefully. Like, if your dog doesn't have all that and you go to do what I'm doing, there's a good chance your dog will fail. And now you're going to go down a rabbit hole.
Right. Right. Yeah. So the best thing is to just write it down and sit on it. You know,
and
talk to a trainer. To somebody about it and figure that out before you just in that moment decide to try it, because, yeah, that could be bad.
Yeah, you have to, like, you have to think about, that's just a tiny, teeny, tiny little snapshot picture of a moment in time.
Right.
And you have zero context, like, right, zero context of what led to that point, right? Mm-hmm. And unless you can really read dog behavior, you better make sure that what that person's doing is having a positive effect on the dog,
right,
versus having a negative effect on the dog,
right? And is it in line with your training philosophy? You know, like, I will look at things that I'm seeing in training and I'm like, I'm like nope, that's like not, that's not my thing. That's not what, right, I want to do. That's not what I want. Like, use your gut. You know what I mean? Like, that factors in. Like, you're going to, mm-hmm, you know, if you see something where you're like, oh, that's really inspiring. Oh my gosh, I want to be able to do that in my training. I want my dog to be able to do that. It's not going to happen in that moment. Mm-hmm. Like, for sure. So just go write that down somewhere and figure it out later, for sure.
Yeah. And I'll see things and I'll be like, oh, that's kind of clever.
Huh? Right. Right.
Maybe I'll use that. But I don't run home and do it. Like, I think about it. Like, is it going to make sense to my dog? How can I modify that so it makes sense to my dog?
Yeah.
Do I even need to do it? Maybe it's a super clever idea, but my dog's go outs are perfectly fine.
Right.
Why am I going to go?
Yep, break
and be like, oh, let's do it this way now. My dog's gonna be like, why? Like, okay, right, you're just giving yourself way more work, right? But I'll sit there and I'll say, and then maybe I'll just store it for future reference. Maybe I'll do it with another dog down the road, right? Or maybe I will do it with this dog because maybe that their behavior isn't as strong as I would like. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of a good idea. Like, I am always looking for good ideas.
Oh,
like,
yeah, me too.
Always.
Me,
right,
too.
But the first thing I look at is the dog comfortable? Like, is the dog working the way I would want my dog? Now, I'm not going by errors. I don't care how many errors you make. If the dog's happy and relaxed, the trainer's given good information, I'm not going to judge them according to errors. It's training. It's a match. I don't care how many mistakes, you know, whatever.
Right.
But I am going to go, oh, like, I like how this dog works. I can see that the trainer is giving the dog clear information. Maybe it's not how I train. Doesn't matter. Right. But I'll be like, oh, that's kind of a clever idea. Huh. Let me think about how, if, why I would incorporate this into my training.
Right.
You know, and right, sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. But again,
it's information
right.
that you have to digest and analyze and decide, is this going to fit into my program? And is it going to make sense, right, to the yeah. dog?
Yeah.
Because some people just like, oh, they do like 18 different things for one behavior chain, and then the dog's just thoroughly confused.
Totally.
Because you're like throwing 10 different methods at the dog, and the dog's like, what are we doing? I'm so confused.
How do we find matches? I think we need to talk about that quick for people who are just starting out. There's a online website called dogmatchshows.com that I think maybe Petra, you can probably put that in the show notes maybe.
Yeah, that's like a Northeast thing because
it is.
It doesn't show anything and it doesn't show all matches like because Upfront Farm has their own, they do it on their own website.
Yeah. So there are like independent clubs and facilities that do their own matches that post on their own websites. A lot of it is word of mouth, talking to people, asking them where they go.
And you could also probably just ask like on Facebook, hey, do people yep. in my area, you know, are there any show and goes? So yeah, like you said, it's, some of it is word of mouth. Probably different regions might have their own version of our dogmatchshows.com, right? Because that pretty much covers like matches kind of within a certain X amount of states.
Yep.
So
definitely.
Maybe other regions have a different version of that.
Yep.
Different schools might have them and maybe they run them through their own website.
Yeah.
So you have to do a little bit of investigation. But the reality is like in our area, we used to be super fortunate. If I go back even 5 years, but 10 years, we had so many match shows. You could literally go to at least one, if not two, like every single weekend practically.
Wow.
Now we have very, very few, and they fill up like in an instant. So like yep. I'll go on dog match shows. Every match from now until October is full.
Yeah.
So then sure. I have to catch one really early, like sign up for one in October, November, and hope that when the day comes, I can actually go. Cause like who can plan that far ahead? That's right. Sometimes a challenge. So right. like what we've done, like you and I have done this where you organize like in your building, right? Rent, like we said, okay, on this day for 2 days in a row, we're going to have this many rings and people like, said they were going to come. And then we drew up a schedule and rotated people through and everyone took their turn and helped someone go through.
Yeah.
Like I'll do that here, like try and get, even if I can just get like four people,
yeah.
right? Then we can either run two rings simultaneously. So one person's in each ring, another person runs them through or vice versa. Again, or even maybe one ring. Like sometimes I'll say today I'm chaining and I'll have my one training partner, or maybe if I'm chaining with two people, we just run each other through. It's the formality. It's acting exactly like I will in the ring. It's
right.
the judge acting like a judge will in the ring. And it's running the exercises together where the dog goes, oh, this is that thing, right?
Right.
This, because it's a cue system.
Yep.
What I do is a cue, like how I warm my dog up, how I reinforce the dog, what reinforcer I have, what procedure I'm doing, like doing a formal ring entrance and a leash removal and doing a transition, doing everything just like I will when it's a real competition. That's the cue system that makes the dog go, oh, we're doing this thing.
Right. Right. Yeah. Because that's what's really like, again, you want that time that when you organize it, Like when we organize ours, like we tell everybody, this is what we're doing. This is how it has to go. This is how you have to be in the ring as a judge. Because you really are trying to, you know, you're trying to replicate all those things that happen at a trial, you know, with the judge pressure and how, what they say and how they move through the ring and where the table is and where the chair is and handing me my dumbbell. Like those are the things that you want to, if you go to put one together, then that's what you want to make sure, like everybody's on board. This is what we're doing.
Yeah. And the talking thing, right? Like if I'm in the middle of an exercise in the ring, I would never talk. So if I'm in the middle of an exercise and you ask me a question, I am not going to answer you, right? I'm not being rude. I'm just not going to answer. Because if I answer you, so this has happened to me where someone's like, ask me a question, I don't answer. They ask me again and again. And I'm finally, I look at them, I'm like, okay, now we have to start the whole thing over.
Yeah.
Because if I, as soon as I answer your question, my dogs are smart. They're like, oh, we're training.
Yep.
This is different.
Yep.
Because this is not what happens when we are in the ring.
Right. And this so is not now how you act. Yep.
It's different. So now anything I do forward is not, it's no longer the same.
Right.
So it is important that as my training partner, you know that, sure, if you don't say the absolute words in the correct order, that's fine. But if you ask me something in the middle or you do something that vastly deviates from the normal ring procedure in that moment, now it the whole run has become invalid.
Right.
Right. So people, and this is where I catch people all the time. They'll be like, no, my dog only does it in the ring. I actually saw this as a seminar once. And then the presenter said, okay, let's do a run through. So they're doing healing and in the middle of healing, the dog, I don't know, forged lag and the person stopped and corrected it. And then they continued on. Well, in that moment, I said to myself, you already blew it.
Right. Because you can't do that in the ring.
You can't do that in the ring. So right. Your dog's going to go, oh, she helped me. Or even if it's a correction, it's information. She gave me information. We're training.
Right.
Right. So it's if I am trying to make it exactly like in the ring, even if halfway through I'm going to say yes and reward my dog, up until that point, I am making it look exactly like in the ring. So I'm going to, you know, only do and say the things I can or would in the ring. And the judge should only do the things they can or would, like a judge can or would in the ring.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And people have a very hard time with that. So it's super important. I wonder what Lori and I are going to recommend. Let's see. I'm going to give everyone 30, not even 5 seconds. 3, 4, 3, 2, 1. Videotape.
Yeah. Get out the pot, the tripod.
Videotape and look at it. As if you were assessing someone else and you would see, because I mean, it happened to me. I had a very experienced, very successful trainer that had been doing it a very long time, told me the usual, only does it in the ring, not even at a match. Nope, not even at a match. I said, send me a match video. It was not even a minute into the match. I'm like, dude. What are you doing? I'm like, I have watched you at trials, at many trials I have seen you at. You do not do this.
Right.
It's a match. She goes in the ring. She's not even set up for the first exercise. And she's having a full-fledged social conversation with the judge.
Right.
And I'm like, what are you doing?
And they're like, what? They don't even know.
Yeah. And she sent me the video as if. I go, dude. I'm not throwing her under the bus. I'm not going to say who it was. I'm like, what? Look at what you did. Oh.
Right.
I said, yeah, I know you don't do that in a ring because I've watched you.
Right.
I'm like, so right there, your dog's like, oh, we're training. So everything that happened after that, I'm like, of course your dog's going to do it right.
Right.
I'm like, so there you go. Yeah. And as soon as guaranteed 100% of the time, 100, I have a perfect record with this. We do a formal run through, just like in the ring, and they get the same behavior. So yeah. Then we can decide, is it a chaining error? Is it a pressure error? Is it a distraction error? Right? Now we can tweak that out. It's not that I'm trying to get the dog to make a mistake. It's that I'm in that when the dog gets to that point, I want the dog to understand that either it's chaining. So, okay, now I know I have to do a better chaining job. Or, oh, my dog is worried about the judge pressure. Oh, okay, I need to do a better job with that.
Yeah.
Right? It's the behavior crops up, and now I can do an assessment of why did it happen and how can we fix it.
Exactly.
So it doesn't happen in the ring, right?
Yeah. And that is what's really important about, you know, going to matches and taking. I think this is definitely more for dogs who are trained and can do full classes and full chains, is those are your opportunities to see where the problems lie, like you just said, so that you can then take that information and say, all right, this is what happened. This is what I'm seeing on the video. This is what we need to prepare the dog better for, because this is where we're struggling. This is why X happens in the ring when I go trial, because that's the big thing everyone says when they come for lessons. I don't understand. Training's great, but the minute we go into the ring, this happens, and I don't know why. So those are the matches and those setups where we can train like that and provide that sort of replicated environment for the dog. Those are your opportunities to kind of figure that out instead of going for tea and cookies. People say too, it's like a social hour.
It is social hour. Yeah. And it's not. And I tell them, practice. It's a great opportunity to practice your mental game.
Yes.
Because when I tell people, like, you have to stay connected, and they go to a match and they come back and they're like, oh my God, it was so hard. People kept talking to me. And then in the middle of the match, I got distracted. And I'm like, yes, it's a perfect opportunity for you to practice your skills, because inevitably those are what's weak, right? Inevitably, the reason the dog struggles in that ring picture is because your training could be better. It's because you're disconnecting in training. And then that, you know, that's a problem when you're in ring picture. It's because you talk too much when you're in training. And when you can't, your dog's like, what just happened? I'm confused.
Right.
It's because you don't present a clean picture when you're training all the time. So then when you go do it in the ring, your dog doesn't know what you're asking. Because like a very common one is dog comes to front. Person uses their hands to or moves help their them. Body or adjust the dog to help them. Well, then you're in ring picture and you can't help them. And the dog's completely confused because it has no idea, because it doesn't see that picture in training.
Right.
So it will show a lot of holes in your training, in your cue system, in how much you talk, in how much you help the dog, in your ability or lack of ability to focus and to stay focused and for you not to get distracted. And when you recognize all these things, you should say to yourself, well, God, if it's this hard for me, imagine how hard it is for my dog. And this is what I'm asking my dog to do. And of course, they're going to have challenges because it's super, super hard.
Yeah.
And it gives you like an appreciation for that. So I think just from that end alone, like a lot of my students use it to figure out how best to improve their handling. Like that's the first thing, is before you tell me about all your dog's problems, I want you to fix all your problems.
Right.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Because then miraculously, a lot of your dog's problems will disappear.
Go away. Yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing. And they'll be
thanking you.
And they'll be like, thank you, God. Thank you, Petra, for straightening my human out. Right. And then again, remember, it's not about setting your dog up to catch them and say, ha.
Yeah.
I got
no,
you.
No, no.
Bad dog. Because if you do that, all you're doing is making it worse.
Totally.
Like, it is not going to help your dog. It's not about catching the dog and saying, I caught you, you naughty
bad
dog.
Bad dog. Yeah.
It's about figuring out, okay, this happened and why? Because like I said, probably 80% of the time, it's a handler issue. It's something you didn't do right with your handling, whether it's, you know, something you're doing different in training than in the ring or something you mishandled.
Right.
And the rest of the time, it's just a hole in your training.
Yep.
And now that you know where that hole is, you go back and you fix that hole.
Yep. You make a plan.
And that's what it's about.
Definitely.
It's a training tool. It's not a trap.
Right. It's not a test and it's not a trap.
That's right.
All right. Good.
Good.
I hope that helps everybody.
Hope that helps you guys. And yeah, matches are amazing, amazing, amazing training tools. Just remember, it's a tool. Use it as a tool and it'll help all you guys succeed.
Yeah. All right. Good. Yeah. All right. Thanks.
So if you guys enjoy this or any of the other episodes, we hate doing this, but we really appreciate it if you just did a quick like or a quick comment in whatever platform you're watching this, not because it helps us individually, but because it will help spread the word and then more people will get access to the show. And the whole goal is just to try to help people.
Yeah, so. Definitely. Yeah. And we read your comments. We love reading your comments and we do take everything, all your suggestions into play with episodes and share your experiences on there. Like the podcast. We would appreciate all that.
Yeah. And as this topic came up because somebody asked for it.
Yep. Definitely.
And we listened.
Yeah, we did.
We did. All right. Thanks, everybody. Happy training.
Bye. Bye.